This over to here. Well, let me thank you for inviting me into your home.
Yeah.
And start by asking me you to give me your name, and then we go on. Well, first of all, put your name on the recording.
Yeah. Well, my name is Harold Earl Duke. I was born on Merrill Street in October the 28th, 1921.
Splendid. And
but I'm the last of 10 in our family. I'm number 9.
How did you come to work? You didn't work in the grain industry as such. You weren't in the elevators every.
Oh, I was on the rescue teams years ago. See, there was no fire escapes or no way to get the top of the elevators. So these guys were trapped in pool 5 when a spontaneous combustion blew up the roof off the elevator. And then Dad had to go over and they had the star drill, the ladders and cinch anchor men, to get up at the top. And in the one place they could get up on pool 4. And the flag, young fella, what the hell is his name? He went across on a rope that the guys that were burnt tied, and they tied it down and they got across on a line. So he secured the line and they brought them back in a cage and lowered them down.
This was the explosion in August of 1945?
Yeah, well, that's about the date. That's when Dad was over there burning the guys out. And Sammy Baczynski and Dion is another guy. And Mikovich was another guy. But then I had to make flat bar ladders so they could cinch anchor them in. And then they had put one up, put it on, and then bolt the other one up and spring it up until they got to the top of the elevator. And then they had another blowout at pool 4B. And then in grain growers, the old piling was going rotten. And we were setting the rocks, and Alexander Henry was on the side. And I was in there with old Bill Mills. He was a sharpshooter in the World War. He was my caretaker. And we set the blocks, and these guys over there knew the elevator was going, and they had a gauge in there when the tanks were falling down. And they didn't let us know. And we just got out of the dock, and then my son Sid, number 2 son, he went over to Catholic Church because he was playing ball with the kids, and he was a star. So I'm eating my supper, and he said, Dad, the elevator fell down. Grain goes. And it washed the outdoor toilets, says there. It washed the outdoor toilets off, washed the pump house off, and it had an old crane that the Jew left there behind. And George Pollock was pumping the dock, and he run like hell. He had the dock to get out of the way, and he hid behind there, and he had to hang on to save his life. And I was home sitting, eating supper. So the Lord was in my vest pocket. So, Christ, it's unreal, the things that happened there. But they had a gauge in there. Then I went to Don's page, and I told him about what happened. So then the shipyard put a suit against Gringo's. I don't know how they made out, but I never got anything out of it. Not even a thank you.
Well, you survived. I guess that was maybe the big thing.
Well, Don Page was my... he was good. He named me Stupid Old Hattie. He said, go and get Stupid Old Hattie. He knows more about the shipyard than anybody. So, and they asked him, what do you call him stupid for? He said, well, he's stupid to work here in the first place. He'd get a better job. So then he sent me up to build them barges in Steep Rock, the Randall and the Bock,
yes.
The biggest barges in the world.
Right. Now, you're describing work you were doing at Port Arthur Shipbuilding.
Yeah.
You worked in engineering and shipbuilding all of your life, I guess, did you?
Most of my life. I passed rivets and...
Could you sketch very quickly where you first worked, for whom you worked, when you worked?
Well,
so just give us an overall picture.
I got pictures. I worked on the Corvette Port Arthur.
Right. When did you start working for? Did you start at Port Ship?
Yeah, well, I started working there when I was passing rivets as a kid. I was only young. Because you didn't
have...
Well,
this would be in the late in the mid-1930s,
no,
then, was it?
I got hit by a drunken driver, and I ended up in Rochester, Minnesota, in the Mayo Clinic.
At the Mayo Clinic.
Yeah, well, they had me here. That's where I showed you the crutches.
Yes.
And they hurt you when I come back. I had a body cast, and I... George Hotchkiss took me to Rochester, and Dad and Ma, they didn't think I'd live, but they found out I had a tooth and a piece of jawbone in my lungs because I'd been here 5 months hanging up, and then they told Dad and Ma that I didn't have much chance of survival, but then they went down. And I was strapped down because my teeth was, I've had false teeth in there, and they had to clamp my jaws, and then they had to keep me alive on the chair and strap me down. And we got the jawbone and the other tooth, and it had abscessed, and the nurses were in there covered with blood. And he said, neither one of them is what we're looking for. And then he got a hold of the big tooth. It wouldn't come up through my bronchial tubes. So I kept going, they had to go. And he said to me, he said, I think we'd better give you a rest, sonny. Bring you up tomorrow. I said, I won't be here tomorrow. Get the damn thing out tonight. Or I won't be here. So then, they finally took it out with suction. I got it. I had the pictures of it right here on the, I don't know where it went, it's in the books.
Kind of a souvenir, eh?
But then I was so relieved the next day, and the nurse came in, and she's, oh my God, I had my overcoat on and my crutches, the ones you see there. And I said, I'm going home. She said, you get back in bed. You're sick. I said, I'm not sick. I feel better than I ever did. So Dr. Harrell came in. And he said to me, he said, the nurse, he tested my heart. He says, hell, he's pretty good. He says, you wait. We're going to take you for a ride. So from the Colonial Hospital, that it's underground, right up the top of the Mayo Clinic. So I went up on top of the Mayo Clinic, and they had all these doctors in there training them, and they had what they call a Bucky X-ray. And they had a picture of this, and he showed them that a young doctor might have left the main things in if he got one body, but they had to calibre it. That now they can take your lung out, and they can weld that finger back. That's new technology. But I was up on top of the Mayo Clinic.
Yeah.
And then they brought me back, and then Dad But the funny part about it, they told Dad and Ma, that's him, they told him to go in a restaurant and don't worry. And then the old man, he smoked a pipe and he couldn't get McDonald Breyer there. And he got what they call niggers here. And Ma said his printer smoked out the restaurant. So anyway, they were so damn happy when they found out I was all right.
I can well imagine. So this was in your late teens that this happened, was it? How old were you when this happened?
17.
17, so this would be 1938.
I was supposed to go on the Olympics.
Right.
See, I was supposed to jump in the Olympics.
Oh, yes, I see.
Axelson, he was put at the ski club. See, I led the trail to Mount Baldy years ago, my dad's old trail. Yeah. We had a shack up top, like the Hartfordson girls. And Ma used to make sourdough bread. And I kept it some sourdough and take some flowers, and I made pancakes up there. Yeah. And we all slept together, all us girls and boys with our clothes on.
Sure.
We had nothing like today. No thanks.
No.
And I skied up there.
I see. So and
then I got back here, and the Geraldine Fowler, that's old Doc Fowler's daughter. I don't know whether she married now, the Ogden sisters. Harry Ogden, he used to be the orderly and the general. His son went down over England. He was a pilot over England. He got shot down. He come back. He got back, but he was in bad shape. But anyway, I got back, and then I got training ski jumpers up in the old ski jump here, training the kids. And Phil said to me, "You're always bragging. Why don't you go to Fort William and jump there?" I said, "Phil, I haven't jumped there since years ago when I jumped on Jailhouse Hill." And she says, "Oh, you're always bragging." So then her and we had to put streetcar racks. And Lovelady and Merrifield, they were supposed to pick me up, and they left me. So I had to put my skis back on the rack. My jumping skis is still at Silver Island in my Hall of Fame. And I put the skis back in the rack. And then I got over to Fort William where he transferred to both streetcars. And I got off. I want to get on the bus. He said, "We can't take the skis on the bus." So I had to ski off. So I got over there, and it's Indian Reserve. So you got to pay 50 cents if you. And then a guy said, "Are you a jumper?" I said, "Yep, I'm a little late." He says, and they said, "If Harold Luke's in the audience, would he kindly take his place on the trestle for his trial jump?" I said, "Cripes." So I went up in the ski tow, and Newt Hansen, Ernie Hansen, all them guys were there. And I looked down over the paper mill there and I said, "Duke, you gotta be crazy." But I jumped 155 feet.
And that's a pretty good jump, isn't it?
Oh yeah, well they were really jumping. There was one Olympic trial guy, he was making 170. But I come pretty close.
Yeah.
I did pretty good for being broken up.
Yeah, well, that's for sure. I don't have any practice there.
Then I jumped in the international, and you had these ski tools and cables. And I'm going down the damn jump, and the damn piece of ice cut under the cable, and my ski was loose. So I lost the ski at one right because the big turn down below. It went right out back to the highway. So I put this boot on the side of this one, and I finished the hill.
Sort of a one-ski run.
And then I said, "No more, that's it."
Yeah.
Then my mother-in-law wrote me a letter and told me I had a family to look after. It shouldn't be studio.
Right. So back to work. Back to Port Ship.
Yeah.
You were working at Port Ship already when you were 17.
I took my dad's place. See, he was, and I, Tommy Craig, he was given, he's still alive, but he was supposed to be my boss, but they finally let him go. They give him for 7 months pension to get rid of him, so, because he had the boss's job, and Page said that they couldn't do nothing. They bought it from head office. So they couldn't put in Gunderson. Gundy was in charge of them. And so anyway, Don Page, Tommy and I all got along. He's still alive. Anyway, Don Page come over and said, "Hey, Tom, get over here. You're not the boss. Dad died, and I got a bereavement pay 3 days." And then Tommy come over, and he told these Americans, which you've seen that letter I got from them Americans.
Yes.
He said, "I don't know, I can't do nothing until Hattie gets back." So that was a good thing for me. So they went up to the office and they told old Don, "We can't spend all that money while he's off for 3 days, and this guy's supposed to be his boss. We're not paying for him." So I come back, and I was feeling pretty good. I come down to see him, and Don said, "You come back to work?" I said, "No. The doctor said I got to stay off at least a week." He said, "Hey, Tom, get over here. Hattie's coming back to work tomorrow morning." So I went back to work. My wife said, "You're crazy." So then I got up on the street. Well, I've had an interesting life.
Well, you have.
There's all my grandchildren. And family.
What work did you do at?
Hey.
What was the work that you did at Port Ship? What job did you have?
Well, I was dry dock foreman.
Dry dock foreman.
And then I was the structural engineer for all the outer work. I was the head of all the structure, like the conveyors over in the mill over there.
Right.
I was in charge of that.
This is in charge of the building of this?
People that built it. Right. And then I was in charge of the CN in Winnipeg. And then I was in charge of Steel River Bridge.
Up the Trans-Canada Highway.
Yeah,
right?
They were down there in the Marathon Mill. Rayner, the superintendent, went down there. And we were getting too much stuff back, so I had to go down and straighten that out. What the hell else did I do?
You worked at, you mentioned Steep Rock.
What work
did you do there?
I was on the Randall and the Block, the biggest part of pump in the whole world. The Randall on the back, they pumped that Steep Rock iron range out to get the iron ore.
They
pumped it on big barrels all the way up the hill.
This was pumping out the lake, was it, to get at the ore?
Well, then we used to have to walk like these big tanks and the cable, they had balls and there was a rail. And I was leading a gang and we had to walk there. And they were pumping big rocks, crushing up the hill. And you would hear it going. And that one of the bells broke, and it started, and I was ahead, and the rocks were flying over the other guy. And I got out of there, and we got back. And then they quit that, they harnessed that right away. And they had to take us out with the tug from then on. So we got the tug out in the morning.
Yeah.
And then Prale up there, he was a big shot there. And he come down and he said to Sutton, he just come in, and he says they had to hit trouble with some of the guys were coming in, and I had to go aboard at some of these Algerines were built, and somebody went down before we launched it, these guys coming in, so they sealed it off. They opened the valves, so we had to get on a crane and go down there and run through and up water up to here and shut the valves off. So then they barred them from coming in for the next christening. Gordon McDougall's wife was christening, I think it was the Henry, yeah. And Prale come down, he said to Sutton, isn't Duke going over to that launching? He says, nope, there he is, looking after his men, all his dirty overalls. So that's part of my life.
Yeah. You worked for Western Engineering as well for a while?
Oh, yeah.
When was that?
Hey, that's before I got married. Hell, that's before I got hurt. I was only 17 years old. And that's when Billy McAteer and I went over. And we got laid off in the shipyard, and George Scott hired us. And then we had to carry the old shoemaker over there. He used to have great big tanks of goldfish. And then he'd sew all the sea of these tarps they used to put on the hatches. And then you button them down, and the hatch combings, you butt the old hatch. It's all wooden, and they were only low at the time. We had to raise them up and put the other cleats on them, but anyway.
So this is the work that you were doing
that's when I worked for George Scott.
At Western Engineering.
And then when I didn't want to go back to shipyard, I liked it over there. But George said to me, he come to me and he said, we do get a lot of work done from the shipyard. Harry, he said, you and Bill, he said, I'd like to keep you, but they need you on the keel for the Redwater. So I got my pictures here. I went back to help lay the keel for the Redwater. Mm-hmm. Over the Delta Redwater.
So you've been involved with building several ships at Port Arthur Shipbuilding.
Right.
How many ships did you help to build?
Well, Jack Hewitt was on the CAMSAC, and Dad was on the Calgary at Milltown. I was on the Milltown and the Port Arthur and the Fort William, that was Algerine. Port Arthur was a corvette. And then I worked on them aluminum boats they built down there. That was the Fort William and the Port Arthur. They were aluminum and wood.
Right.
They had a hell of a time bending them on the rollers.
Yeah.
So I worked on them too.
So this is the war during the Second World War, the corvette program.
Yeah, I worked on I worked on pretty near every second one.
Right
through.
What was your particular job in the shipbuilding?
Well, I started out as a liner fitter because, see, they couldn't knuckle the frames, so the plates overlapped or riveted, not welded, see. So we had to put liners so the taper had taken off, and then they'd take them a fat hugger and he's hammering them out on the big hammer. And then I had to mark them and take them back and hammer them in. I still got the hammer at camp.
Yeah, yeah. That was a pretty basic kind of shipbuilding.
Riveting
these sheets of steel or aluminum and wood.
Well, I was the boss on the Scottiegal and the Learmouth. I got the movie of it there.
Right, I see.
When Tommy Chauvin, you knew Tommy, eh?
No, I don't think I did.
He was a union.
Oh, yes.
He was a union...
rep?
I had quite a bit of trouble with him. He was doing too much union job, and then he told me to go on so-and-so. So I took him up the office, and Don Page said, he said, "Girl, I don't want to lose my job." He said, "Well, you don't want to lose your job. It's up to Harry." He said, "Oh, well, Harry." He said, "Well," I said, "Well, I don't care, but I got to get the work done. I haven't got time for him running around doing union work on my job." And I said, "I don't care. If he does, he's working noon hour or to lunchtime or anything else. But if he's not doing it on my job." So he says, "I don't want to." "Well," he said, "no, he needs a job. He'd be a good boy now. I think he'd be all right." "Yeah, I'll go back, Mark." I said, "That's all right, Tommy. Just do as you're told." So him and I have been friends ever since.
Yeah, I can imagine. Which union was this?
Eh?
What union was this that he was working for?
That's in the early 40s.
Right.
Yeah.
You remember the name of the union? Was it?
Well, it'd be just before the war started.
Right. Yeah.
See, I was... My young brother, see, the conscription my young brother was only 17, but they were conscripted right down to 17.
Were they?
And Saul Laskin got out of the war, and the Prads got out of the war. You know why? The priest got them off, Bill Jacobs. But Norman, he couldn't get out. He's a Protestant. He had a crippled wife, and they scalded the kids, and he had to go. No retrieve.
That's tough.
That's the way it was.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the hate. Quebec's burning hate.
Yeah.
See, Canada's steamship, Paul Martin, was the Canadian Starvation Line. And then the boys went on strike. I was in the tug at the time with Pete Medwood and Harry Green, and they went on strike, Canadian shipbuilding. And that's when Patterson prisoner got, and Paul Martin hired all these cooks for all these packies and everything, and took all these boats down east.
Yes.
And then I got here, and to keep my job here, I had to take my manager's course. I learned everything off my father and out of the books. So I went to St. Adèle, and Paul Martin owns half of Quebec at St. Adèle. It's a beautiful place. We were in his apartment. I had a beautiful room there. And I had squash. I wrote his exam so he'd pass. And then I got told the school teacher that was teaching that I got the picture at camp that you. I said, "That won't work. Not at my place. That don't work." I said, "You got to be have one boss, and that's it." I said, "My schooling." So then he said, call me in. The personnel officer there, we took him downstairs, and I invented a thing for him to get up and down years ago. I drew a picture of it, and I passed my manager's course, the highest in class, in my grade 8.
Congratulations.
I got my book.
Yeah? That's brains.
Well, that's my dad. He's my teacher.
You've mentioned your dad a couple of times.
Yeah, well,
could you tell me more about your father?
There's two guys at the Lakehead. My dad was engineer, tug captain, and every time they were on the boat, on the trains, and Dad had grade 4. That's all he had. Everything out of his books. And Jolly Wally, the best mayor in Fort William, he only had grade 3.
Right. And this is, your father's name was James?
Jim. James Duke.
Yeah, James Duke.
My brother was named after.
Right. And so your father... What work did he do? You said tugboat captain, was it?
Well, he was born in Owen Sound, and he was on the engine, and from Orangeville to Toronto, and he said they had to stoke the engine. They had one shovel to fry their eggs on and one to shit on, to throw in the fire. I got his union ticket here, union command. So he didn't belong to the union. So he couldn't go on the engine.
No.
So then they didn't want to lose him, so he went to Grand Trunk Pacific. In the States, on his boss on the section. So that's where my brother Bill and my sister were born, in the States.
I see. And so then at some point he came back.
Yeah.
Came back to the Lakehead.
Yeah, well then he didn't like that States. He hated. He gave half the stuff to his sister in the States. Her badge is here, I think, on my trophies.
You have a lot of trophies.
Yes.
It's quite a living room of memorabilia here.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just turn this on. So you've just brought over this...
That's when we used to go on the train. It cost us 90 cents.
Oh, yeah.
On the train down there. And then we got off at back sliding. And we walked to Spirit Lake cross country, and then we come out, and Jim's wife met us on the highway. We walked right across.
Right.
And that's Mackenzie Inn.
Okay. So this is where is Beck Siding?
Eh?
Where is Beck Siding?
Beck Siding, now that used to be where the trains took on water.
Oh, yes, it's a CCR train.
Yeah, they used to
the
take
road.
On water, same as the pumping station. Used to be down on the railroad track.
Oh, yes.
Back the mayor, the mayor's uncle, Pete right. Horman, he used to, and Boxcar Annie, I don't know whether you heard of her.
I don't think so.
She used to sweep boxcars.
Oh, did she?
Yeah. That's why
what, to get the grain out?
No.
Or was this her job? Or
sweep
was she?
Pete Horman, they all used to sweep the grain to take for chickens.
Sure.
And
sort of
then
bleeding the grain.
A bunch of gangsters, they decided to go down and load it. They were loading their trucks and drilling the boxcars and putting bags and throwing them in their trucks. And McMillan, he was shot down there. He was in down in Rochester when I was there. And they were going to take his leg off here, and they ripped him right from here down to his ankle, and they sewed him back, and he went back on duty.
Really?
Yeah. That's Ray Watson, I'm his uncle.
Sure. sure.
That's Teddy at McKenzie Inn.
Hmm.
And Mrs. McMillan, when I had to go upstairs, she said to me, keep my pecker up. And I said to Ma, that's terrible. She says, that's a Scottish thing.
Yeah.
Keep your spirits up.
Right.
Same as the Englishman knocked me up in the morning.
Yeah, that's right. But you have some marvelous expressions. So, I had an English friend, actually from Monmouthshire on the Welsh border, who enjoyed telling me about knock me up in the morning, yes. Be more colorful if a woman asked for it, of course. But
see, there's my centennial tie. And there's the morning I made out of a tree knurl.
Oh, yes. Right.
That's my put out the centennial. Brothers of the Brush. I was ahead of that.
The Port Arthur Centennial, 1957, I've seen the brochure for it and so on and so forth. What was it 100 years of?
Yeah.
What happened in 1857 to make it a centennial?
That's 1980.
Well, I'm looking at the tie.
Yeah, well, this is 1957.
What happened in 1857 to make it a centennial?
Let me see. I'd have to. That's. Dad was born. Dad was married in 1900.
Yeah.
My grandfather, he was born in 1857. And my eighth grandfather, he was a friend of Washington.
Right.
So
well, I won't pursue it very far, but Port Arthur didn't exist in 1857, and so when J.P. Bertrand and others got busy celebrating a centennial in 1957, she I've did. Often wondered what it was supposed to be a centennial of.
Best deer hunter.
Right. And 1988.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Best moose hunter, best deer hunter. That's my half of my stuff there.
You're right, you've got quite an array of memorabilia in the corner there without question.
Yeah.
You're going to have to establish your own Hattie Duke Museum someday.
Well, this is taken early in the morning from my upper deck at camp.
Yeah. Maybe I could invite you to sit down again, Mr. Duke. It's a You're wandering from the microphone, and I'm afraid that we're going to be losing the good word.
That's the lower deck on the camp.
Right.
And this is glare ice, and the sun comes over the mountain.
Sure.
It's there.
Yeah. That's a beautiful scene.
I built that all out of scrap.
Right. From Port Ship.
Yeah. Well, there's the camp there.
Yeah.
Right there.
Oh, yes, we were looking at that before.
That picture is taken from up there.
Right.
And that's, I own that right back there.
Sure.
That's when I used to ski.
Yeah.
And I guess my grandson will get it. So.
Could you tell me, was there a typical day at work? When you went off to Port Ship, what would a day's work be like?
The biggest day, and I had the old power wagon years ago, and we had a big storm, terrible storm, worst storm we practically ever had. And I got to work, and the boats, I got the movie of it there. The steam was coming off them, and I had to. So Sutton was in, none of the bosses come in, only me, and I had to go on track all day. Garney come in on the crane and Cease Karen, they're both gone now. So they had to plow, and I was busy all day. It's a beautiful movie in the morning I took. I used to carry my, I had a movie camera, I used to carry it and take pictures on my, when I went to see where all the men were.
Sure.
It's on that TV. Someday also. You got a VCR like that at home?
I do have, yes.
The same as that one?
JVC VCR?
That's the old.
Not that the brand matters particularly. I'm sure that if it's a VHS, any VCR will play it.
I don't know whether that's the right one or not.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't mind looking at that sometime. We'd love to love to make a copy of it if we could, so that
I'll put it on there.
You were clearly one of the. Were you a foreman?
Hey.
You were a foreman at Portchamp.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this gave you authority over the other men and so on.
See, I was. We done most. I was the head of the structural steel guy.
Yeah, you were mentioning that, the construction of all of that work.
And I was foreman in the dry dock. And
have you got some stories about dry dock work?
Oh, yeah. The Edward C. Whalen, she was built sort of top heavy. And they put her in a dry dock and the shore's crippled. And I was only young then. There's pictures of it someplace that she's tipping her over. So we got pig iron, you know what pig iron is, great big blocks. So I had to go and they put the pig iron on the other side of her.
Yeah.
And they flooded the dock part way up, and the old man sent me over to unhook it. I was scared shitless that day. He said, so then they put cables on her from the other side, and the donkey crane, Charlie, what you call, he was the boss, he was on the donkey crane. They put the donkey crane on her, and then they put the big rolls, they sent the cable out and put her on her and brightened her up. And then they took her on the waterfront, and we had to put buoyant tanks in to stabilize her.
Yeah.
I was on that. I was only a young man.
Yes. This is the whale of the, was it a tug?
Yeah, well, it was a tug.
Yeah.
The Strath Bogey, she burned at the dock. And then Dad used to run the air compressor all over, up the mining towns, Birchill Lake, all over. Old Burke was the Indian agent here.
I've seen the name.
Yeah. He was a crooked old bugger. He really buggered the old man. He sent the old man on. I got his history someplace here. I got so damn many books and pictures. But the kids, the one book the kids sort of got, young people got into it, and they sort of ruined part of it. I wrote it for my mom and dad on their anniversary.
Yeah. You've got quite an archival collection, a museum collection here. You want to think about where it's to go someday, given all the treasures that you've collected. I just paused it for a moment here again.
Tough Living, that's the two twins.
Oh,
yes. Up. That's young Bill. He's my brother Bill. I'm his uncle. He's still alive.
Right.
She was a nurse in the St. Joe's. And that's the twins in the trailer court.
Where was this trailer court?
Duke's trailer court is still there. Billy still owns it.
Oh, yes. Right.
And I named him Hard Rock. Yeah, that's young Billen Allen. She did. She was nursing to St. Joe's.
Sure.
And that they first lived in the trailer. He was a fire chief in Mackenzie.
Oh, yes.
And there's my daughter.
Right.
And there's Johnny Mead.
Sure.
He just got off that ship. He just took another course, and he got chief engineer. He just got off that ship, and he come home to see me. I was in the Boom Bowl Championships.
Oh, yeah.
That's Ingrid Norm's wife. She's gone. Right. Johnny died on my birthday last year. And there's Phil.
Right.
And that, I think that's the Empress of Asia.
Yeah, the Empress of Canada is what it says.
Yeah, well, the Japs sunk her.
Oh, yeah.
And Johnny said this, there's King George on the stamp.
Right.
Somebody wanted that stamp, but it's not for sale. There's the E.B. Barber. I was aboard her when I launched her. That's
oh, yes, yeah, so this is when you were...
There's a whale on there.
When you were called back
yeah.
to lay the keel at port ship.
That's the...
I see the elevator in the background.
Yeah, that's the one that fell
right.
down.
So that's the dry dock, isn't it? In
which, yeah, that's the dry dock.
Yeah.
We launched the moat.
Red water.
That's E.B. Barber.
Right.
That's the mayor.
Oh, yeah, so it is.
Yeah, well, her daughter is married to my grandson.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well.
And there's Mom and Dad.
Right.
And there's my dad had the first dad's real speed wagon.
Oh, yeah, the first truck here at
Gray Line.
Gray Line.
And that's me and Norm.
Right. Yeah, your dad did a variety of things.
That's unlike.
Sure.
This is... Well, I built my camp.
At a surprise lake.
That's a fox. He used to sit there.
Oh, he could get a good view of things, eh?
Yeah. Oh, here's Rennie the fox. I trained him.
Right.
He chased everybody the hell out of there. Him and the cat got along perfect, the cat.
Did they?
We called him Mouse.
Of course, the cat was inside and the fox was outside.
Yeah, he's on the table.
They didn't actually meet, I suppose.
Yeah,
they just watched each other.
I trained him so.
Yeah, I
so
see.
Him and the cat got along. Anyway.
Ready, your
and
fox.
This squirrel got in. I had this bird feeder out there.
Right.
He went on the line here and down that line got in there.
So you've got this milk carton with holes cut in it and the sticks shoved through for the birds to stand on, but the squirrel comes down the wire and into the bird feeder. Right?
Down that
line. Yeah, squirrels are marvelously agile, aren't they?
This little guy, he was coming down to see me. He's Phil's nephew, and him and his wife, she's still alive. He had a big farm. Yeah, I was sort of a hero to him. And a transport truck hit him when he was all ready to come, kill him at his own gate.
Oh, right.
This is where I won the walking garden at Silver.
Oh, yes, and talk by Ann Roddy, eh? Well.
The deer is eating everything off there now.
Lots of talk by Ann Roddy, Silver Island Walking Garden Tour, Hattie and Phil's. Dukes, this special garden with its long winding red and white staircase has the brightest entrance to the most unusual varieties of plants. Would you believe black day lilies, cross-pollinated with loving care, undoubtedly the largest yellow tomatoes grown in the most unique hothouse by seeds garnered from a mature tomato. The roses surrounding the house were from Dr. Harrell's house on McVicker Creek, destined for the dump and saved to grace many homes at Silver Island as the original plants were shared.
Well, Dr. Harrell's roses are all over Cranbrook.
Are they?
It was on the road away, and I put it on the garden.
Yeah.
I run the dump down, cut the slips out, and give it to everybody.
Yeah.
going all over.
Well. Yeah. And this is August 1999, so it's 10 years ago.
Yeah, that's my oldest brother, and that's my son's got my old home now.
Oh, yes.
I don't know what she done with them pictures.
Yeah, this is on Helen Street, is it?
Yeah. That was the only house there. Yeah. That's the Calgary Stampede. That's the airplane coming into my dock.
Oh, yes. And the lake was large enough to land a plane on.
Yeah.
Right.
This is Mom and Dad. That's my sister.
Oh, yes.
And that's my brother, Bill.
Right.
That's their first kids.
Right. This is about more than 100 years ago. Or no, it would be about 100 years ago, I guess.
Yeah. She's up in... that's Jeannie Kosky. They had a place up north, and that's Bodie Watson. She's still alive.
Oh, yeah.
That's me in there. Jean's still alive. I don't know about her, but we used to go there.
Sure.
That's a moose. Once drew a sleigh 160 miles on a frozen thing.
Someone used a moose in New Brunswick as like a horse, eh?
Yeah.
Pulling a sleigh. Well.
Here's one of my books.
Oh, yes.
That's my garage. Sure. And that's the beam.
Right.
I can lift anything on. Right. Here's another book.
Oh, yes. You've done quite a bit of hunting over the years.
Here's 89 years old, Dad's book.
This is your father?
Yeah.
Yeah. Always the last buck he shot when he was 89 years old.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, well, that's what I am now. That's one of the biggest books in history.
Yeah.
This is all mounted at my camp.
Oh, yes.
On the pool outside.
An array of racks, eh?
Yeah. But I thought, there's a big one there.
Yes. Yeah, that is a big one.
And there's one they used to hunt in the park years ago, but they weren't hunting in the park. There's a pipe my Normie caught when he was a kid.
Oh, yeah.
And there's another book.
Right.
Here's another one.
Hunting season has been important to you.
Oh, yeah.
Have you gone out pretty well every hunting season for years?
This is in Current River on Morris Street.
Oh, yeah.
That's Brother Bill. These are all wolves.
Wolves?
He shot them out in the North Branch. And
right.
Bill and Bob had a snare line of fools.
Oh, yes.
There's me when I was 15 years old.
Yeah, was that your first one, Sir Duke?
Yeah. I shot a moose too.
Yeah.
15 years old.
1936.
Old Taylor gave me my license. He said, nobody will know the difference. The chief. Dad, I bought my rifle that year too.
Oh, yeah.
There's a big buck.
Sure. Right. Yeah.
And there's the old Hungry 30s. That's the hunting crew.
In those days, dropping a buck was
30s.
A great way to
get
some supper.
Yeah, that's a big moose.
Yes, it certainly is.
And
then a congratulatory letter from the Ontario Federation
of Anglers.
That's only five years. Now. 5 years ago, in December of 2004.
Yeah. I'm an honorary man in that part department.
Yes.
Not that I approve of what they're doing today.
No, we really enjoyed learning about your family history of hunting, as well as pictures of your monster 18-pointer.
Yeah. The thing is that they shouldn't open this season. Here's my buck and my moose.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I'm only 16 now.
Right. So this is, you were only 16, 1937.
Yeah.
Well, meat for the table.
Yes. Yes. look that American shot up there. Mine is bigger than him.
Oh,
but
yeah.
That's the whole idea. You probably heard about that. They got arrested and they got that mounted someplace.
Yeah.
There was a muck, two of them off the hill.
Oh, yes.
There's the airplane that I got two pictures. There's my grandma. And that moose charged my dad. And he shot both his front legs off to make him stop.
Let me just read the top part of this, Audrey. This is your father, is it, James?
Yeah.
Eli Duke, born
yeah.
in Owen Sound, January 12, 1879. Right. Well, that's... Historians always want to know dates, you know.
Yeah. There's old Paul Adair.
Oh, yeah.
You seen him. He stick a pole right up his rear end and out through his and lash his head there and his feet up there, and he don't swing.
No, I dare say that'd be one way to have him stabilized for the walking out.
Isn't that a bit? There's your grandma. She lived to be 103.
Did she really?
There's my grandmother.
Good stock. More of the family, eh?
That's Bill. Brother Bill. That's it. There's my Uncle Ed, and that's... That's the Hungry 30s. There's all. There's me, Norman, Tommy, Jimmy, Bob, and Bill.
Right. William Duke Sr. Now, was this an uncle of yours?
That's my brother.
That's your brother? Oh, yeah.
That's Doris Camuzzi's grandfather.
Oh, I see.
They don't like that motors.
Right, yes. I got to know Doris back in the 80s slightly when I was delivering to
Doris. Doris is out of Shabana right now.
Is that where she's living these days?
Yeah, oh well, she's fishing them. She's got a beautiful camp. She owns part of most of the island.
Right.
Yeah. There's my old grandfather's farm. And this is Duke's Lake. You can sit up there, but you can't go near the lake. This is all farm environment free.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's due. My grandfather's named after my grandfather.
Right.
It's still there.
And where is that located? In cooperation with, is it Kinross Township?
Yeah.
Let's see.
And this is my daughter. Well, she was out in a boat out here.
Oh, yes. Yeah, someone... Saw a chance for a good picture. That's a lovely one. 1972, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Patty's got cancer. There's,
oh, I'm sorry to hear
this
that.
This is my violin gang.
Oh, the Camp Billy Valley Fiddlers.
Yeah. There's my grandson there.
Right. Now, this is the leader, right?
That's the leader there.
What's his name?
Yeah. Hey?
Who is the leader?
Yeah, he's the leader. Yeah.
What's his name?
I don't know for sure.
Oh,
I'm talking
okay.
to him. I haven't got his name on there.
Right.
But there's the old dad's old Buick.
Right.
That was a beautiful car.
Yes, it certainly was. Yeah. That's a Buick sometime in the 20s, I guess, would it be? Do you know
that? Not a Buick.
Right.
And that's up at Pickle Lake, that's Gene Koski's place.
Oh, yes.
That's the president's house, that's where we used to stay.
Right. 50 miles east of Pickle Lake.
Yeah, there's John Mead.
Right.
That's me. These all Johnny ever shot, it's these Pickle bucks. He never got a big buck.
But he's got the heads there to show what he did get.
There's old Fort Jim Duke's kids.
Yeah.
That's Rita Lake.
Rita Lake in 1930. Yes.
And there's one moose we're locked. Had to shoot.
Oh, yes, where they got their horns locked together.
One had to be shot, and the other one had let him go.
Once one of them was dead, it was possible to get the other one loose, eh?
The other one was dead already. We just got.
Yeah. Our bucks meet for winter. This is Rita Lake, 1930. Well, I don't doubt it. The Hungry 30s.
He's mean away from the edge, Scott.
Yeah. Few years have passed.
Yeah.
60 years married. Now, when was that?
October the 7th.
Of this year?
On October the 7th, this year, we'll be married 65 years.
65 years. Well, that's an achievement.
Jeez.
Oh, it's it's about the Community Care Access Center and the care you're getting, I guess.
Yeah. There's, see, that's John, and when the Japs bombed the embassy easier, accidentally.
Oh, accidentally, I see.
Yeah, and when we were young, we were like Huckleberry Finn and Tom Sawyer.
Oh, yeah.
I told John you had to have hair on your chest to be a man. And he sent this picture. He said, thank God you hear it here. The Japs just accidentally dropped a bomb on purpose. But he said, look at here. You said we had to have hair on our chest. Not one of us in the gunnery crew got hair. There's my boat to boat time.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
The boat that you had at Surprise Lake, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's letters I wrote to the editor.
Over the years, eh?
Yeah. Well, I sort of had trouble because I got wired up at the News Chronicle years ago because I wrote about the old guy here with was affiliated with Arthur Black. And Garth Mitchell and I, when they wanted to close down all the hunting up in the Black Sturgeon and everything and put gates on for us guys. And then Garth and I worked with Reg Windsor and that. And I thought there was only going to be a little crowd out in the old police thing out there where they had all the men. And it roared with, they had to get a police car there, there was so much traffic. And then I got up and told that guy what I thought of him. And my phone was ringing off the hook at my place. People congratulated. And he phoned me and he said, I got more power than you, Duke. I'll get to you yet. But he's dead now.
You outlived him. Yes, there's a certain satisfaction in doing that. I've outlived one or two people at my tender age already, too.
Yeah, well. Yeah. That's the president's house at Pickle Lake.
Oh, yes, out east of Pickle Lake.
There's the dock.
Right.
And there's, see, I still got that. That's the hub net off the Donnacona, the longest boat built, the batter. So I made the nut trophy out of it.
Yeah.
And all these dignitaries, and that's Dr. Jim Bullard. I presented to him, it's still going. I made the nut trophy, and the insignia on there is Hattie's trophy. Anybody that works so hard and does work for everybody is going to be nuts.
Yeah. It's a beautiful trophy. Where is the trophy? Where is the trophy now?
It's on camp.
At your camp?
Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful.
There's your hospital.
Right.
Ain't that a beautiful building to tear down?
Yes, it is. Now, this is the old Marina General, Railway Marina General Hospital. Open.
That's where my brother Jimmy was up there.
Oh, yes.
Years ago, he had lead poisoning his foot. Him.
Right. Opened May 24th, 1909. A souvenir from the Mayo Clinic.
And this this is Don, Dave, Norman, Teddy and Jimmy and me.
Right.
And Dad's car. That's Harder Avenue.
Oh, man.
And there's the Brothers of the Bush.
Yeah. Centennial Parade. Now, this is 1957, I suppose, is it?
Yeah.
The Port Arthur Centennial?
Yeah. Well,
yeah. And there's you at Spirit Lake.
Yeah. There's all my licenses.
Sure, your firearm registration certificates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's my dad.
Practicing the shovel.
Yeah.
Firing the boil.
Western Dried Up.
At Western. No, yeah, Port Chip, it says there at Western Dried Up. Former.
And there's my Uncle Roland.
Yeah.
And this is my little girl here. I trained her there.
Maybe we should just flip these.
Yeah. This is.
Right. And now there's a lovely family. These are grandchildren, are they?
That's Gil Holloway. This is a little guy that died of heart, split heart, mother.
Oh, no.
Who the same. He's full of PCBs. He used to be the electrician on the lights in the city of Port Arthur.
And he's infected as a result of working with that. He's full of PCBs, isn't he?
Well, he had to go to Rochester.
Good grief.
He's still doing good now.
Yeah. It's tough. Well, this is quite an album of memories, Mr. Duke. Quite a book.
Yeah. Well, quite a few of them. The stories of my life is quite a thing.
Yes. If people wanted to know about the work that you've done at Port Chip over the years, what would you like people to know in particular about the work you did?
About the shipyard? Well, I'm a little disappointed that I lost everything. I was covered all over the country. Like I think I showed you my history here. And they went bankrupt, so I lost everything.
This is in terms of the end result, your pension and all the rest of it.
Quite
eh? Digging in your wallet for a card at the moment?
Eh?
You're looking for the your card, card, eh?
I had it a while ago.
Yeah. Do you have happy memories of working at Port Chip?
Eh?
Do you have happy memories of the work that you did at Port Chip?
Oh, yeah.
Over the years?
Oh. Well, we played horseshoes. We had the best horseshoe pitches down there.
Yeah.
Pepper Martin and my brother, old Pepper Martin, and Jimmy had put a ringer on, and Pepper Martin had come. We had the best horseshoe pitches.
Is it right at Port Chip on the...
Well, we had it right at the entrance going down there. We had put one there.
Because I've seen some along the street.
Where it started at Archie Christie's pattern shop, they used to pitch every noon hour there.
Oh, yeah. There's...
Then we had the hunting and fishing club. See, I won that trophy. I should have... I don't know what happened to them trophies. See, there was... I got a picture someplace. They were big trophies. The deer hunting trophy, the moose hunting trophy. I won them all, but they went every year, see?
Passed on to someone
but
else.
Where they disappeared, I don't know.
Now, were these Port Chip trophies?
Were these trophies for men who worked
at Port Chip?
They were put out by the... Like, we had our own game club there.
Sure. Right.
Yeah.
So your happy memories are of recreation.
Oh, I, the whole gang, Brayshaw and them, they used to go from the shipyard to watch me in the ski jump.
Sure.
Years ago.
Yeah.
And then you know where they got that place right back of the Whelan building?
Yes.
The old Whelan building.
Right, the downtown.
Well,
park.
That's where we had the shipyard rink.
Oh, yes.
That was where Campbell had, old lady Campbell owned the first rink there.
Right.
And then the part of the shipyard owned that property. That's where I used to coach hockey. See, we had, Bill Brasher had the welders, I had the fitters, and the heaters, and riveters, what the heck was his name? He didn't know what the heck was his name. Old Ed, well, I can't think of it right now.
Yeah.
But he was doing the thing.
And
so we had hockey teams.
And each of your trades had a hockey team.
Yeah, sure.
And you'd compete.
See, the first three hockey teams belonged to Port Arthur Tricolor, red, white, and green. The Allen Cup champions, the three teams were all Port Arthur shipyards. They all worked for the old man. And then the 1930 Allen Cup team belonged to the provincial mill.
Those were the
See,
days.
We used old Crompton run it. They had a rink, Tommy Crompton's rink. He played goal. And then we used to pay into the sports club so much off our check. Everything to support all this.
Yeah.
Then they cut it out.
How long did that go on? How long did that last? Through the 30s?
Oh, yeah. That,
during
then,
into the war
then
years?
We were busy. During the war, we were busy.
Yeah.
Oh, hell.
But with the hockey?
We had all these sports activities.
Yeah, yeah.
See, when I got hit by that drunken driver, I'd been in Rochester, then they wouldn't take me in the Army. I went through all the tests. But they wouldn't take me. They told me to go back to work in the shipyard. That's where I worked so hard to become what I am.
Yeah.
See, this foot is a little crooked.
It isn't that.
And this foot is crushed. I got most of my foot crushed. I got three toes off that foot. And then I got this.
Yeah. How? It was a dangerous place to work.
Oh, it was the most dangerous place in the world. They wouldn't insure us there. No.
The workers' comp.
Because there was too many deaths. We had putting our finger a week off. See, they had the old guns with the trigger, and they didn't have no. If you jammed it, and the reamers had no, when a reamer went through, and it wouldn't stop.
Yeah.
And then they had a habit, they'd grab it and the fingers off.
Yeah, because you've lost a finger on your left hand.
No, Scarnetti run over that.
I see, but you did lose a finger.
Yeah, he was on the grain. The belts come off. And the catwalk went right by, and I had to go up the ladder, and the ladder got bent by a stupid thing, and the belts come off. I went up, and when I come down, Scarnetti moved the crane, and he caught my hand and wound my hand putting off.
Good grief.
And I come down the ladder, and Carl Mauer fixed it up.
Yeah.
Dr. Valentine worked on it. They thought for a while I was going to lose my hand, but it's still there.
So there was many a trip to the hospital.
Yeah.
From the.
And this here, see the big press in the angle shears.
Yeah.
That's, I think it's around 100 ton pressure. And Jack Allen sent this kid. I told him the hardwood block was split. And he sent the kid over to the joiner's shop, And the young fella put softwood in there. And I'm cutting away. And boom! The damn block, when the angle hit me, and it hit me so damn hard. And blood coming out of it. My damn fingers burning her off. It hit so hard I hardly felt it.
Yeah.
So then they took it up, and doctor goes, I can put it back on crooked.
Yeah, it's there, but. Did the company try to make the work safer?
No, or, they compensated this year. It triggered. And Dr. Petterline was upset about it. They call that Dupreme's contracture, so I didn't get no pension. And then this one here, they give me $7 a month, and then they cut it off. They said they paid me too much.
Yeah.
So workers, I don't get no comp.
Workers' comp, no.
And then I've had 3 attacks of cancer. Dr. Wand operated. And we don't get no pension from the shipyard for anything like that.
No.
But down in Florida, where the shipyard workers, anybody who worked in the shipyard years ago gets a full pension in the United States. We don't get nothing here.
And it's been the failure of the company.
See, I was covered all over the world. But then, like I showed you that thing.
Yes.
Then when they went bankrupt, they cut us off.
Yes. Yeah, bankruptcy is a terrible thing. And, I know that.
That's the one I was covered all right, over the world.
The Health Source Plus card, and you were there as a Canadian shipbuilding and engineering employee. You had the card. Around the globe, eh?
So, the only trouble I put my baby policy, like my mother kept it, I kept it with Metropolitan. They took over Sun Life. So I'm all right, but then the trouble is when they cut her off on this, she don't get no pension, only the old age and the kind of pension. And the nurses didn't have any pension in her day.
No.
They couldn't even take a chocolate bar.
The arrangements have been pretty bad in the past for a lot of people.
So it's been a little hard, but the main thing, we're still alive.
Yes, well, you certainly are still alive.
Well, I got one of the best families, like John. They're both at the college. Sydney's teaching structural and boat work.
Oh, yeah.
He's my baby.
Took after his dad, eh?
And Johnny is the aeronautic teacher at the college.
Right.
But they said, Johnny said, you could never work today, Dad. You'd get kicked out. You can't go tell them to do as they're told. Like you.
What are you most proud of? What are you most proud of in the... What are you proud of? What most proud of in the work you did over the years?
Well, I'm very proud of the work I've done on our Dawn page. And I'm pretty proud of our work up in Steep Rock, where I saved a few lives. And I've rescued quite a few from drowning. I pull more people out of the bush than enough with a power wagon. I guess I've helped more people on the road than enough.
Yeah.
So I'm proud of anything I've done.
And
mostly all I'm proud of her.
Well, you've got a beautiful wife, and 65 years is a marvelous thing to be proud of.
See, when I first met her, I took her out and then we went together, and my father, I was pretty handsome then, and my father, when I took her home, Dad said, which one is this? And then he learned to like Phil. And he didn't like aeroplanes. He didn't want me to fly her out west in the 50s.
So I take it she's not flighty.
Yeah, but I took her anyway. But Dad offered to pay her fare, and Dad liked her, and Mother liked her, and she wanted to marry me, but at that time, that's pretty near 69 years ago, and I told her I didn't have anything.
When you said that.
So go home and see if you can find somebody better than me. And then she let me, and we got, when she got off the train with her little beanie hat, and then we got married.
Yeah.
That's 65 years ago on the 7th.
Right. The project that I'm involved with has to do with grain, moving the grain.
Yeah.
Some of your work obviously connected with the grain trade, the ships, of course.
Oh, yeah, well, the car haul and the old sweepers, big booms, they had a sweep and break butt door busters.
This is on the boxcars.
I was with Billy Mills, and then Young Byers, the Byers team, say Roy and his brother, well, Alan, he got clubbed with taking a wheel harmer, but him and I, when we were young, we took a contract to dig out for the grain growers, the millwright shop. And I was on the bucket. Well, the poor old horse, we never got him safe, but we hid all that damn junk in there. So anyway, we got that. Made a little bit of money.
Is this the kind of bucket where you're riding it along and then it flips up?
Yeah, flips up, you let it go. But we were soaked. So then I got a job going in at 5 o'clock in the morning to pump it down. So, and then I worked with old Fred Speak and Gib Earnshaw to put the cement in there. And old Bill Peach, he worked for C.D. Howe up now. He used to always have a bottle of wine in his pocket every morning. He come down. So hell, and
I understand that the occasional bottle of wine went into port ship too.
Well, Bill Mills, and then I got an idea because I worked in a shipyard, and they used to pull the belts on with these big wooden buckles, and it'd take them about 3 hours. So I said to old Bill, I said, old Speak, I said, damn it, if we can get that car haul, we'll put a snatch box in and get Jack Berry on the car haul signal. And we, Christ, we pulled that belt up. Oh, Dick, you can't pull that belt. We're pulling belts for you. And Ed said to him, well, he said, Eddie works in the shipyard, and he knows, I know he knows what he's doing. So we put them in, we pulled it up and put the splices in, boom, just like that.
Yeah.
With the car haul.
Sure.
They used it. Old Dick wouldn't give me any credit anyway. Yeah, stubborn old bird.
Yeah.
Most of them old guys were stubborn.
Well, you had to be stubborn
to
survive,
stubborn,
I imagine. Yes, indeed.
All of them. We used to be on that slab, and we, like I was a player, we had to do pretty well everything.
Yeah.
And they used to put these red hot plates come out of the oven, and just overalls and big ass hammers, and slug them plates and put the dogs in.
Yeah.
Old Harry, the old man was the only one to give him help.
The way in which ships were repaired, the way in which you repaired ships changed over the years too.
Well, when the welding came in, we had the shrinkage. The C-strike had to be riveted. So you lifted that on a wood. I was the plater. And you had pick up the hole. And then she'd go on until you went up right to the shear strike. That was 1 1/8 inches. That shear strike is the heaviest plate. And that was all being riveted. Now it's all welding. They got new rods and...
Yeah. Did that mean that fewer men were needed? Was welding, did welding reduce the workforce?
Well, I got my I'm a welder and a burner too now. I got a certified welder.
Sure.
I have my camp, I've cut out printer. The hardest thing I cut out is a moose. And I got them all welded all over the decks, maple leaves.
the joys of welding.
And that thing up there.
Oh, yeah.
There's a horse in there, I think.
Is there?
Yeah. There's a horse right there.
Right.
And there's the maple leaf I cut out with Duke, and you cut the name of Duke's in.
Oh, yeah.
And these is all animals and like ducks and everything
right.
As well as in there. And that's the first flotation dock.
Right.
And then they come down from up west and they were gonna took a copy of it and they were gonna make me some kind of a hero for that. Next thing I know they're making floating boats and
yeah.
I never got anything.
No credit given.
No.
Well, you've got the satisfaction of knowing you showed them how to do it.
Yeah.
There's that.
Oh. Well, the old captain had say years ago, that's water over the bridge.
Yes, indeed.
That was the old saying.
Yeah.
Water over the bridge.
Over the bridge.
Over the bridge, see
right.
The bridge. I got some at camp. They used to, on the bridge, on the wheelhouse and the Corvettes, they had these like a torpedo round and then it was pointed both ways and they had them across the bridge, the wall there, and the captain was up there and they used to take the wind and keep the sea off there, the wind flow.
And so...
And then they had speaker tubes. Right, they trail all the way down through everything.
Down to the engine room and so on.
Well, I worked on all that.
Yeah. So it's water over the bridge. I've always thought of it as water under the bridge. But this is a naval expression.
Oh, over the bridge.
Yeah.
Oh, hell, sometimes. Right. That's why my dad built the Wanderer. Sharp nose, he used the rail, and he built her, she was only narrow, so she'd go right through the sea.
Yeah,
he built the boat. I built the boat time.
Sure. Beginning to wrap things up, what are the most vivid memories you have from the work you've done?
The work I've done?
The most vivid memories.
Well, I invented the front end hitch years ago, and we were up in Chief Bay, and I had my old Ford, and this American backed his truck in and boat in the lake, and he had only back end drive, and he got stuck there. So I went down, And I put the front end hitch in the Ford. I got enough weight in her and got them standing on the back. And I hooked these, you'll never get it. I pulled them out of there. And he said, how much owe you? And I said, well, if you go to Armstrong, buy me a case of beer. I'm short of beer. So he went, and he said, all right, if I draw a pattern of that front of it. I said, I guess so, that don't bother me. But the next thing, it's all over.
Yeah.
And he never got me the case of beer.
Oh, he were short the beer too. Adding insult to injury.
That's why I'm not too happy with the Americans. They're too crooked.
Yeah. Well, is there anything else you'd like to tell me about the work you've done?
Yeah.
Anything else we should put on the tape?
Well, if you climb up the flagpole in Marina Park.
Okay.
I built the Marina Park, the flagpole.
The flagpole.
Yeah, well, I took Herbie, he did now, with what we call the bull moose. Because the engineers come from town, and Don Page said, we've got to get this out of here. They said, how are we going to put that thing up? He says, well, you better put it, get it up pretty soon or Duke will take it to Silver Island. He says, he can't do that. So he says, okay. He says, I'll send him down. So, see, you put a cement in and put it all, then cement two big channels.
Right.
And then you got one pin goes right in the center. And then you got two big pins to put in. And you put a backstay on it. And you put the headline. So we, Joe Conley, I took them down, put the bull moose on them. We got her up so far and we put the cable on to hold her. And then Herbie went around the other side and pulled her up, and I put the pins in.
Yeah.
I got my, the only thing, they had trouble. Somebody went down, we put the ladder right down. And Don said they went up and stole the flags, these vandals. So I said, what the hell can we do about that, Hattie? Well, I said, let me see. Well, I said, well, you can get the crane up there anyway. They got a crane, they got a good crane. They can get something like the backhoe. I said, the city's got one. So I said, you know where we can get any barbed wire? So Page said, I don't know. So we got barbed wire. And we cut this ladder off. And then we put barbed wire up the bottom. And then we put the anchors up. They were scrap. So if you get down there, no old jury's got a name on it because we built it out of scrap and he claimed it. But my name's up top.
It's up top, is it?
Yeah, I stamped it in there. But,
good.
And we got built by Port Arthur Shipyards up sure. there on top. He don't know of that.
Well, I'll stop by and take a look at it with this description you've given
that's
me.
That's my work.
Right. Okay, well, this has been very interesting. You've got a marvelous life. You've got a great wife.
I got a
marvelous family and all kinds of memorabilia.
That's all a party. That was the biggest party in the history of Silver Island this week. That's the party.
Yeah.
And that's how I trained her. They all come over to see the new bride.
Oh, yeah.
And I was in the backyard showing her how to box to protect herself. And I made a lot of money up west on them barges because we used to go and see the boxing matches all the time. And then old Bill, he was on a Corvette years ago. He was our trainer, and Cyril McRae and I, we used to box in the Finn Hall.
Oh, yeah.
And old Bill told me, How do you get out of the ring? A good nigger will kill you. Your arms is too short. So I was a co-driver. We used to go and watch them box when we built the barges. I was driving, I'd drive men. So they used to bet on the boxers. This Paul Rossi, I'll never forget, he's bald-headed. And they give the reach and everything. So the nigger, he dancing around. So old Paul Rossi outraised that nigger by pinner 6 inches, pinner 7 inches. So I said, the old guy's bald-headed like me, and you guys want to lose some money, I'll bet on him. So I cleared over $100. He knocked him out in the third round. So that's one of the interesting parts.
Yeah. Well, I imagine there are lots of interesting parts.
Oh, yeah. Lori Haggard come up there. Well, that was a big job up there.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Oh, the Kenwood, she was, they used to haul in all the parts. We built most of it down the shipyard, and then they took it up in sections. And then this fan casings we built for some place down north, and I put them together. But steel work, it's hard to, you can build the same thing, but it'll be different. So I had met match marks on all the sections. Number one, and match marks. And they're all on the prints. So Gordy Fisher was the engineer in the boiler shop, and he said, geez, how do you get in there trouble? I said, it couldn't be trouble. I fit them in a backyard, how in the hell can it be trouble? So Gordy says, well, we got to go up there and see. So we got up there, and the engineer was there. I looked at the big foreman, and I said, well, I just can't be wrong. I says, hey, what the hell is number three doing on number one? I says, here's the match marks right here. The match marks is all over. You can't, and you got the wrong section there, you got another wrong section up there. So he said, that's enough, go and get that foreman. He said, you're fired. Because you can't read a blueprint,
yeah.
You're fired. So he says, okay, thank you, sir. You can go home now. No back charge to ship there.
Yeah.
But there again, they never gave me anything for it.
No.
Gordy, I don't know, Gordy was a good guy. He died.
Where were these ships being used?
Hey?
The boats you're just describing, where were they being used? Where was this? Where were they being assembled?
Oh.
These ships.
These ships, right in the shipyard.
Yeah, but where were they being used?
Hey?
Where did they were they used? On the lakes?
Yeah.
I see.
We launched them right there.
Right.
And then they moved the BATM boats. They took them to Toronto to finish them and send them
okay.
over.
Sure.
Oh, we built lots of banger mine ships. The Algerine mine sweeps were like a small destroyer.
Right.
The destroyers were too big for us here at the time.
Corvettes was the biggest you could handle.
But they were, like the Corvettes, Jack Sennett was on the Port Arthur, she sunk a sub. My father was the boss on her, and I was one of the top fitters on her.
Yeah.
I worked on most of them. The old foreman all liked me for some reason. Old Fred Stark.
Yeah.
Lauren Andrews. Howard, we've had a great life, and the kids are all good to us, and we got to go to my old home, Sydney's, on October the 7th. He's having our big party for us down there on our 65th anniversary, so
good.
We're well looked after.
It sounds that way.
Yeah.
Well, shall I put the push the stop cancel button?
Yeah.
Wrap it up?
Yeah, I think so.
You've given us a lot of information, and I